Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3. A mighty stream of foul transgression prevails from day to day. But thou, O God, in great compassion, will purge my guilt away. And what follows, Psalter 419, the stanzas 2 and 3.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in John 19, the verses 17 through 37. And afterwards from the canons of Dort, the third and fourth head, the articles 3 and 4. John 19, the verses 17 through 37. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And this title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made 4 parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. And now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things therefore the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother, and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour the disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Thus far the scripture reading. The canons of Dort, the third and fourth head of doctrine, which speaks of the corruption of man, his conversion to God, and the manner thereof, Article 3 and 4. Article 3, therefore all men are conceived in sin, and by nature children of wrath, incapable of saving good, prone to evil, dead in sin, and in bondage thereto, and without the regenerating grace of the Holy Spirit, they are neither able nor willing to return to God, to reform the depravity of their nature, or to dispose themselves to reformation. Article 4. There remain, however, in man, since the fall, glimmerings of natural light, whereby he retains some knowledge of God, of natural things, and of the differences between good and evil, and discovers some regard for virtue, good order in society, and for maintaining an orderly external deportment. But so far is this light of nature from being sufficient to bring him to a saving knowledge of God and to true conversion, that he is incapable of using it aright, even in things natural and civil. Nay, further, this light, such as it is, man in various ways renders wholly polluted and holds it in unrighteousness, by doing which he becomes inexcusable before God. We hope to remember in prayer Janelle, the 5-year-old daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Rein Ludemann, who broke her leg, underwent surgery, and was privileged to return home last night. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when it has pleased thee in thy mercy, on this special day, to gather us and our children together within the walls of thy house, under thy word and eternal testimony, where this day in thy church has been set aside, that in a special way we may be given to remember the death of thy dear Son on the cross. O Lord, thou knowest in this day our thoughts, our meditations, our desires, and our prayers. May it please thee that in this evening hour may be special indeed. That special light may fall on Christ crucified, where he has cried out, "It is finished." The debt has been paid. And then, Lord, thou knowest how matters stand with each and every one of us concerning that debt. The cross declares thy justice and declares thy mercy, Lord, for those that are not troubled about that debt, that can live from day to day and from week to week without grave concerns concerning the settlement of that debt. Then we humbly ask thee, shoot then an arrow into their heart, that debt, that it may become real in this hour, when they may be given to hear of that cursed cross and what it has cost thy dear son to pay the debt for his children, that there may be souls that may receive profound impressions of their sin and of their guilt, their missing, and that debt needs to be paid, and that there is only one step between us and death, and then it is eternity. And when that debt has not been paid, then we shall be sent to that bottomless pit, everlasting destruction. We shall be sent to hell, where the gospel shall no more be preached, although our conscience shall speak. And when we have said under the truth, then all the sermon shall come back, also the Good Friday sermons, where it was declared that there was salvation for the chiefest of sinners. Lord, thou knowest 'tis thy work, thy free and sovereign grace to quicken thy chosen church. May thou do it in this evening hour, that there may be souls that may return to their homes so alarmed and so troubled and so burdened with the prayer unto thee, the living God. Lord, remember those souls where thou hast made a beginning, where sin has become exceeding sinful, where they have learned to mourn over their sins, to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and become so busy with that debt, because it needs to be settled. But now to experience that with all our labors, our repentance, and with our tears, that still remains. Maybe a few souls that have come up where it seems, that weighs so heavy and only becoming greater, and yet a people that cannot miss thee. Lord, may it please thee to preach, to bless the preaching of the gospel of Christ crucified. that a soul may be set at liberty. Oh, to be given to look upon him who was white and ruddy, and who was cried out, it is finished. Oh, one look of true saving faith, wrought by thy Spirit, and then they shall be given to rejoice. Oh, may it take place that that burden of sin, that it may roll off their back. Lord, remember thy church. Good Friday is the payday. Wilt thou grant unto thy people to experience that day, and also Easter, where it is written in thy word, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, our Lord. In this evening hour, leave us not cold, untouched, unmoved, when we are called upon to consider him that is hung between the heavens and the earth, no place in heaven and no place on earth, but he was that mediator between God and man. May it please thee, that light, new light, may shine on the cross for thy people. Lord, remember thy church in this day, wherever it may gather, richly bless thy word, build up thy kingdom, and that the kingdom of Satan may be diminished, that it may be destroyed, although that battle, that warfare shall remain to the end, and according to thy word in the latter days, the strife shall be great. May then thy kingdom come, and thy name be glorified. Bless thy holy word in the church, in the family circles, and in our Christian school. Remember the afflicted ones, a little daughter that has broken her leg, taken to the hospital, underwent surgery, and she was privileged to return yesterday evening. Grant a humble and a broken heart. Well, don't now grant further healing and strengthening. A great blessing. We have hospitals, much medical knowledge. We read in the scripture of Mephibosheth, he was also 5 years old, and he remained a cripple for his life. Above all things, Lord, wilt thou grant her a new heart? She is yet young. Remember the parents, the family circle. Remember the young father in the hospital. We may acknowledge thee for all the improvement, what thou hast given. Thou knowest all the concerns. Well, thou uphold this dear wife cannot be different. Overwhelmed, wilt thou strengthen. May the means be blessed above all, the calling sanctified. Remember all those that struggle with continual pain, weariness of the body, difficulties of the mind, the handicapped, the crosses and the burdens. 'tis all a consequence of sin. But thy dear son, he has suffered for a different purpose, because he had no sin. Oh, he was under the consequences of sin. We read so clearly in the scriptures that he was like unto his brethren, sin accepted. But he is hung on the cross, that thy name may be glorified and thy church may be saved. Remember the family circles. We commend unto thee all the mourning ones. Remember all the elderly ones with those that care for them. Remember those that work in the medical field, also in the emergency. Wilt thou continue to help them? Remember our nation. Remember our province. Wilt thou continue to be mindful of us and our children, to grant and supply us all our needs. Also in the springtime, when thou granteth it, that the farmers shall be on the field, wilt thou keep from harm and danger, and may it be with the looking unto thee. Lord, then the seed in this evening shall also be sown. May it fall on well-prepared hearts, and when they are not prepared, oh, begin that good work. Those that could not be with us, grant them a blessing at home. Wilt thou anoint us with fresh oil from above? Open thy precious testimony. Take away everything that could be a hindrance, and that thy word may have free course. Forgive us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 185, the stanzas 2, 5, 6, and 7. Preserve my sinking soul, I pray, from tides of hatred save. Let not the waters overflow, redeem me from the grave. And what follows? The collection in this evening is for the Synodical Education Committee. Psalter 185, the stanzas 2, 5, 6, and 7. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our text words, what you can find in John 19 at the verses 28 and 29. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. And now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. Our text words speak of the fifth crossword, I thirst. With four thoughts in the first place, a word upon the cursed cross. Secondly, a word of clear fulfillment. Thirdly, a word of deep suffering. And fourthly, a word of blessed comfort. The fifth crossword, I thirst. A word upon the cursed cross. A word of clear fulfillment. A word of deep suffering. And a word of blessed comfort. Thus first, a word upon the cursed cross. Beloved congregation, the day of Good Friday, that is many times called the payday for the church, where the debt is paid. Do you have a debt, congregation? Boys and girls, young people and older ones, do you have a debt? And then you shall all answer, if my sins are not blotted out through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then that debt, my sins, are all on my account. That is a good answer. May I ask you in this evening, how do you live with that debt? Have you thought about it in this day? Your sins. Have you been a little troubled? Have you cried unto the Lord in this evening? May be preached Christ crucified, who was paid for the sins of his people. And now it is so indispensable that by the uncovering work of the Holy Spirit, that we become exercised with that debt here in the time, and that we are given to hunger and thirst after righteousness and beg for mercy. Because how terrible it shall be if death overtakes us with that debt. And the justice of God needs to be satisfied by us or by another. But, O congregation, and this evening hour may be declared that there is a Savior for sinners. Have there come up a few souls in this evening? Exercise therewith. Because when the Lord works, then we become exercised therewith. Oh, it is true, there are times that we can be so taken up with the things of the world. But nevertheless, it is the work of the Holy Spirit that souls become exercised with that debt. And what do such souls then do? You know, congregation? What do such souls that are given to see in the mirror of the holy law, that they have such a great debt, then they try to pay it? Have you tried it, congregation? When the Lord works, then we try to pay it, pay off that debt. Can even be at the beginning that they hope that there may come a time that it may be paid. But I hope that there are souls in my midst that say in this evening, that hope is disappearing and my debt is becoming greater. It is becoming heavier. Oh, that missing. Oh, may it then be granted that by an eye of faith that you may be given to look upon him. As in Numbers 21, that people that were bitten with a serpent and that people experienced that poison of that serpent that went through their whole body. But then the brazen serpent was put on the pole. And one look, even a faint look, even from a very far distance, but one look, and then they were healed. May that take place in this evening. And then, people of God, how is it with that payment? And how is it with the receipt? Because we read in Romans 4, verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. And now in this evening hour, the fifth crossword, a word upon the cursed cross. Because her last point, Sunday evening, that was about that accursed cross. Crucifixion, that was a terrible punishment, was not performed by the Jews. It is true, sometime among the Jews, then people were stoned, and after they were dead, then they were hung. But it was a punishment of the Romans for slaves and for the worst criminals. It was a shameful death. Bible times, then there was still much modesty. We read of the Lord Jesus Christ that he was unclothed, that a guilty people may be clothed with the garments of salvation was a painful death. Children can understand it. Oh, then such a one, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, those hands which have done nothing but good, laid upon the children, healed, blessed, the feet that have walked through the land, then the soldiers, there's the general thought that Jesus, the cross was laying on the ground, and then Jesus was stretched out. And then the soldiers have taken the nails. They tell us 5, 6, 7 inches long. And they have taken a hammer. They have stretched out his arms and nailed his hands to the crossbar. Then they have taken that cross and they have put it upright, and then they have put the nails through his feet. Then the cross declares, congregation, the terribleness of sin, that rather than that the Lord lets sin go unpunished, that he has punished the same in his beloved Son. They even tell us to describe the pain of crucifixion that they have coined a new word, excruciating, to describe the terrible pain of such a one. Then the blood has flown. We read in Psalm 22 that his bones were out of joint when they put the cross upright. Then his arms were stretched. And they tell us, for one on the cross, that each breath was a death. Thus such a one would die a thousand deaths. Many times was a slow death. But it was a sure death. And now in this evening, not one that has committed a great crime or that has murdered someone, but it was that holy Jesus that was nailed to the cursed cross, because I read in Deuteronomy that it is written that he that hung on a tree, that such a one was cursed. Oh, that blessed Jesus, he is hung between the heavens and the earth. No room upon the earth. They have cried out, crucify him, crucify him. And because of the sin of his church, all the sins of all his people was laid upon him. There was no room for him in heaven. I read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he that knew no sin that he was made sin, a profound statement. And in Galatians 3 verse 13, that the Son of God was made a curse. And then we have heard it from Lord's Day 15, that in that way, oh, what a love, what a willingness, that Christ was willing to bear that curse, and to that end, to be nailed on that cursed cross. Good Friday. I think our boys and girls, they understand why Good Friday is called Good Friday. Because with that sacrifice and with that crucifixion, then a way was made that sinners, great sinners, even the chiefest of sinners, may, and as church, as shall be saved. Is there a need for that payment? Is there a need for that sacrifice? Because sin, when we behold the cross, then we see the justice of the Father, but also that unfathomable love that the Father has given a Son as a gift, come upon the earth as that sacrifice to that end, to fulfill the types of the Old Testament, because the sacrifices, they were lifted up and placed upon the wood. Thus a word spoken from a cursed cross. This evening, the fifth crossword, the first, that was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The first three crosswords, for the church, the second, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And the third, that concerned Mary, the mother of Jesus, that John would take Mary under his care and in his dwelling. The fourth, that was spoken because at 12 o'clock noon, the sun has refused to shine, was darkened. And then at the end of that 3 hour darkness, then Christ has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And now in this evening, then we have the fifth. Thus the first three crosswords concerning the church, the fourth concerning his soul's agony, and 5, 6, and 7 for his Father's honor and the salvation of the church. When we consider the crucifixion of the dear Son of God on the cross, and then his bodily pain, that was great. But then we have to be careful and that we do not focus only or mostly on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but that especially it was that soul's agony where he was taken, where he has taken the cup of his Father's wrath, and where he was given to drink it to the last drop. And to that end, that 3-hour darkness, oh, that separation where the Father has hid his face, where it was dark, and where he has cried out those agonizing words, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" But now the 5th crossword, our second thought, a word of clear fulfillment. Because we read in our text, after this, after the 4th crossword, after this, Jesus knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, then the dear Son of God, we read in Psalm 1 verse 2, of the godly, that his delight is in the law of God, and he meditates there day and night. And now when Christ in his great agony, and after the 4th crossword, when it became light by renewal, then Christ, as the servant, the willing and obedient servant of the Father, then he was meditating upon the Holy Scriptures. And then it was necessary that every prophecy written in the Scriptures would be fulfilled. Because if that would not take place, then how troubled the church would be, and how the devil would come with his assaults, that Christ has not fully fulfilled all the scriptures what pertain to him. And now concerning the prophecies before his death, then many have been fulfilled. In Psalm 116 verse 3, there we read that the sorrows of death compassed him about, the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. But now concerning the 5th crossword, that was prophesied of in Psalm 69. And to that end, in that Psalm, then we read of different prophecies describing the suffering mediator which have been fulfilled. In verse 2, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come in deep waters where the floods overflow me. It is true. Also the experience of the true child of God, that they know of those deep waters, but there can be those times when they come in those deep waters and they by an eye of faith are given to look upon their beloved master who has suffered and died. And then their suffering fades away, into nothingness. And the prophet has said in Lamentation 1 verse 12, behold, is it nothing to you that pass by? And behold and see if there be a sorrow like my sorrow, which the Lord has afflicted me with in the day of his fierce anger. Concerning mankind, then our suffering can be deep. But then there are others that suffer more. But for the Lord Jesus Christ, he is sunk in those deep waters. He has come in the miry clay. He has descended into hell. In verse 4, they hate me without cause. They are more than the hairs of my head. Then Christ, what an enmity that he has experienced from Jew and Gentile. In verse 7, because for thy sake I have borne reproach. Verse 8, I am become a stranger to my brethren. The disciples have fled. Verse 9, oh, it is true under all the circumstances, because when he has come to Jerusalem, he has cleansed the temple. The zeal of thine house has eaten me up. In verse 11, became a proverb to them, he has saved others. Let him save himself. If he truly be the King of Israel, let him deliver. In verse 20, reproach is broken by heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I look for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. Has all been fulfilled in the life of Christ. But now in that solemn, there was still an unfulfilled prophecy. And to that end, because we read in Psalm 69, verse 21, and in my thirst, they gave me vinegar to drink. And to that end, was also suffering, but also to fulfill prophecy. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. A word of deep suffering, let us first sing. Psalter 47, the stanzas 1, 3, 4, and 8. My God, I cry to thee. Oh, why hast thou forsaken me? Afar from me thou dost not heed, though day and night for help I plead. And what follows? 47, 1, 3, 4, and 8.
Thank you.
The fifth crossword, I thirst. A word upon the cursed cross. A word of clear fulfillment. And now thirdly, a word of deep suffering. And the fourth crossword, that speaks especially of the agony of the soul of Christ. The fifth crossword, that speaks of his body's agony, but it does not exclude his soul. And then in our text words, concerning that thirst and that drinking, then we must make a difference with that drink which we read of in Matthew 27 verse 34 and Mark 15 verse 48, when they offered the Lord Jesus Christ vinegar mixed with gall. But then we clearly read thereof, when he tasted thereof, that he would not drink. And that was because that was a drink that would numb the senses, that the one being crucified, that he would not fully feel all the pain. But, oh, the Lord Jesus Christ, because I read in Hebrews 12, verse 2, concerning Christ, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And what was now the joy of Christ in the way of suffering and death? All that suffering was terrible. But then before him, an eye upon his Father's glory and the salvation of the church. Because in Psalm 2 verse 8, there we read the promise that the Son has received, ask of me, and that he would receive the heathen for his inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for his possession. And that was his bride. And now on the cross, all burdened souls, see then the Lamb of God. And that was sacrificed, that was nailed on the cross. The dowry that he was called upon to pay, nothing less than his own blood. And now Christ, when he is hung on the cross, when he was crucified, not to be numbed, but he wanted to feel the full weight, the pain of that dowry. Oh, the willing Savior for black and guilty sinners. Then Christ has refused that first drink. But now he is hung on the cross. And the last time that we specifically read in the scriptures that he has drank, that was with the institution of the Lord's Supper approximately 18 hours ago. He has not slept during the night. Oh, he was scourged. He was led to the cross, nearly succumbed. Then those that were crucified, then the fever was raging. And to that end, also concerning his bodily suffering, then Christ is cried out with a loud voice, I thirst. And now concerning that thirst, congregation, the Son of God, also the Creator of the heavens and of the earth, and where it is declared that everything belongeth to the Lord, the cattle upon a thousand lips, then he is hung on that cursed cross with parched lips. He is cried out, I thirst. But we have stated at that bodily thirst, that fifth crossword, and that does not exclude the thirsting of the soul. Because he had just cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, then Christ on the cross, and then he is thirsted for that blessed communion with his Father. And then he is thirsted, and that his work in the state of his humiliation may be finished, and that the price may be paid. Oh, then he is thirsted for the ingathering of his church. And then surely, and then he is thirsted, and that on the morning of the resurrection, and that he may visit and meet his black bride, and that he may speak comfortably unto them, because for those disciples, John was present, but for those disciples concerning that priestly office of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that was still so hidden for them. And thus Christ thirsting for that blessed communion with his Father. And now further, concerning that thirst, that is for the welfare of the children of God. And that is our forethought, a word of blessed comfort. When we consider Church of God, when he is hung on that cursed cross, so much pain, agony, forsaken, the blood flowing, his life fading away, ready to expire, and that under those circumstances, he is thought of as dear mother in the third crossword, but also when he was given to remember that one scripture still needed to be fulfilled. People of God, now he sitteth at the right hand of the Father. There he sitteth at prophet, priest, and king. And shall he then not from thence, at the right hand of his Father, remember and fulfill the promises which he has spoken, which are recorded in the Word of God? Is that not a comfort, in the Scriptures? How many saints we read of awaiting people, unanswered prayers, unfulfilled promises, but the fifth crossword, what an assurance it is for the true child of God, what he has spoken shall be fulfilled. Must remember, are there still waiting souls for fulfillment of a spoken word? But must always remember his time, his way. What I doest now, thou knowest not. Thou shalt know hereafter. concerning the fifth crossword, then it is also a word that is meriting a Forest Church, because he is thirsted. He is thirsted on their behalf. When we are considering the fifth crossword, maybe there are those that were thinking of a parable. And which parable is that? In Luke 16. For his church, for his people, then Christ, as their substitute, he has suffered. He has thirsted. And he has died. My unconverted fellow travelers, if we are not saved, our sins are never pardoned. If we continue on that broad way, if we refuse to repent and believe, we continue to count the blood of Jesus Christ an unclean thing, the blood of the covenant, then in that parable of the rich man and Lazarus, then I read of that rich man, they both died. The beggar and the rich man all have to die. And then the rich man, he was given to lift up his eyes, saw Lazarus in Abram's bosom. And then he began to do something. It was real, it was sincere, like he had never done on this earth. He had a request. It was a real request. Because he was tormented in hell. And then he asked, he did not ask to be delivered. It's implied that that rich man had a deep impression that in hell there is no exit. But then he asked for mercy. Because he was tormented, asked if it was possible that Lazarus would be sent, that he would dip his finger in water, that his tongue may be cooled. What a profound thought, congregation. When we remain unconverted, when we go lost, weeping and gnashing of teeth, and then to thirst, we do not really know what it is. We can be a little thirsty, boys and girls, but we do not really know. We have never been in a desert where there is no water. But then if we go lost, then water shall be refused. And then we shall have to thirst to all eternity. And then the Good Friday services. Oh, who was able to declare the riches of Good Friday, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world. and then it shall all come back. A crucified Savior who was cried out, "I thirst." And through that meritorial work, then Christ has merited for his people that spiritual thirsting. That is such a blessed thirsting. That we thirst after the Lord, the things of the Lord. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. But not only to work that thirst, or do you think, congregation, that the Lord will work that thirst for the Lord, his favor, his blessed communion, his righteousness, and then not fulfill that thirst, shall never be. Lord does a perfect work. Thus, Christ on the cross has merited that spiritual thirsting, but through a sacrifice also fulfills that thirsting. Different degrees, different measures of knowledge, but blessed are they that thirst and hunger after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He was that sympathizing high priest. But now one other thought concerning that vinegar, because we read in Matthew 27 verse 48, also read in our text, now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth in Matthew 27 verse 48. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. But now concerning that vinegar, because the next crossword, that is the sixth. Boys and girls, you know what that is. That it is finished. Has been completed. The debt has been paid. And now surely, not all written, but in Christ, all on the cross, exercised with his Father's glory and with his church. Thus the first and the second petition, that especially that sixth word, that he could cry out with a very clear and loud voice, because when he received the vinegar, then he has cried out, it is finished. Congregation, what does it mean to us? Must examine each our hearts. What does Good Friday mean to us? What does the cross mean? On Golgotha, three crosses. And the crosses made the separation between the thief that was soon in heaven and the other thief that was soon in hell. Christ has paid for us people. We have begun asking whether we have a debt. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, then the cross declares that there is a way to be saved, but needs to be experienced in our heart. Oh, bow then your knees and tell the Lord how it is. Maybe even thirsting after very sinful and addictive things. But we can so be so busy with thirsting for the material things. And then fathers and mothers, it can be our thought. Of course, cost a lot to raise a family that we hope soon shall become a little less. But how long have you thought that? And maybe so busy. And of course, work does not stand the Lord in the way. When there's the Lord's time, oh, then we become so busy with these matters. Also during our work, then many prayers are sent up. But Good Friday declares that Christ has died for sinners. Question is, have we now become that sinner? Ah, for those walking with a burden upon their backs, then what a precious declaration. It is finished. The Son of God, oh, he has hung there with outstretched arms, inviting poor and needy sinners that cannot pay themselves, that cannot miss the Lord, that are thirsting for him and his righteousness. They thirst for justification, for sanctification, but now to experience that the debt only becomes greater. But he is hung with outstretched arms. And I read in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Oh, what a precious invitation for those hungry, for those thirsty and burdened ones. And therefore souls, oh, then look at him who was hung on the cross, who has glorified the attributes of the Father. And to that end, even in the last chapter of the scriptures, there that precious invitation for thirsty souls in Revelation 22 verse 17. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, do you hear congregation, whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Amen. Let's close. Our Lord, who was able to declare the solemnity, but also the riches, the instruction of the cross of Golgotha, Ah, Lord, then we need thy Spirit. May it please thee to grant the application. May we return and examine each of our hearts what we are thirsting after. Ah, the psalmist has declared, as the heart panteth for the water brooks, so panteth my soul, O God, for thee. Ah, thou hast such a thirsty people. Ah, Lord, may it be filled. Oh, by an eye of faith, to be given to look upon him who was white and ruddy, and the chiefest among 10,000s. Ah, Lord, wilt thou pour out thy Spirit richly? Grant a revival. Thou hast done it so oftentimes. Wilt thou now remember us? Bring us safely to our dwellings. Watch over us and the remainder of this week, and may we be given to meet one another on the Lord's Day, when we hope to commemorate in a special way He is risen indeed. Forgive us our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. How blessed is he whose trespass hath freely been forgiven, whose sin is wholly covered before the sight of heaven. And what follows, Psalter 83, the three stanzas. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. And the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.